but thank you. Oh, today's theme, relentless. Relentless, and you will see where we're going with that in a bit. But one year, Dave Hagler was working as an umpire in a rec baseball league in Boulder, Colorado. And being an umpire in a rec league, just you're just abused, you know. But unfortunately, Dave got pulled over for speeding one day. He tried to talk to the officer out of giving him a ticket, like we all do. My son is a master at this, and it's inappropriate. It's manipulation. I try to teach him you need to be a man, a young man of integrity, but he's willing to cry in front of a cop. But I love him. He's got stories. So Dave asked for leniency, since it could make his insurance go up, as we all understand. A really bad ticket really affects the bottom line there. But the officer was relentless and told Dave that he would take the matter to court. He could take the matter to court if he didn't like the ticket, because he did deserve it. Fast forward to the first game of the next baseball season. Dave was umpiring behind the plate when he recognized the policeman coming up to bat. The officer also noticed Dave and asked how the whole ticket thing turned out. And Dave simply replied, "You better swing at everything." You better swing at everything, dude. Everything's a strike. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for so much taking in this year. And that we get to be a place where it's warm today and safe and good. And I just want to personally thank you for the way you've encouraged us during this year. Jesus, we want you to be the center of our life, and it's a war every day for every one of us. But we really want that. We understand that that's the best and highest use of our life, when we really do celebrate you and put you in that leadership role in our life to guide us, to teach us, to lead us, to love us. And thanks for each man, woman, and child in this room and this campus. May you bless them. May you touch them with your grace and your care and your love. May you protect them in every way. And may they fall more in love with you in the year to come and today as well. We appreciate you. We invite you, as always, into this room to touch our hearts in a meaningful, tender way. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus. And as Megan mentioned, so much has happened this year. There were dinners in this very room with women and men where stories were told, personal stories and testimonies of things. The kids are leading us in a follow and find him deal. And it's a great message. I love that we want to find Jesus, follow him, and fall in love with him. But to think of all those kids telling us the story from their lips and with their script, coming from their heart, hearing it over and over in rehearsal. And I think, you know, what is the impact of that in 20 years? Who knows? But they know what we want for them. I mean, how cool is that? The adults, which are just really, whether you know it or not, just a bunch of big kids, especially Mark with this new little toy thing. I'm going to play that one day. I can do that because it's just like push buttons, right? And wanting us to make a way for the king and showing us how available he is, and to our friends that we were able to drag here. Christmas Eve was warm and easy, not fancy, with some kids that grew up here honoring the Lord before us. How cool is that? And it's good to be a part of what God's doing here. Also, the other truth is Christmas is really, really far away, which is not bad either next year. For sure we know and can be confident that Jesus is alive here. And that is really meaningful. That may seem like a small thing. Well, every church, he's alive. Yeah, no, cool. Go, baby, go. Run with the ball you got. But he's available to us in this place. And there's a sense in my heart that he's become more available. Not so much just as a doctrine or a belief system, but as a relatable Savior. One that understands our life, one that cares about the inside of our hurts and things that harm us, that sometimes we don't know what to do with. And we get to make him available to others in real ways, respectful ways. Well, today's message, let's get to the good stuff. It's not going to be long, I don't think, is about communication. It's all about communication between you and God. And taking advantage of that. Just for fun today to begin, because today's a different day. I knew a lot of people would be at Mammoth and Cabo and all that stuff. I guess you guys just didn't make the plans. But I'm glad you're here with Sandy and I, because it could have been me and Sandy and Mark and Sandra and Ken and Megan and a couple of sound guys. We never know, you know. But we all know that God doesn't audibly answer us. At least he doesn't to me. People that say that Jesus speaks to him, I say, I don't try to deny anybody's experience. It's not my job. But I say, cool or interesting. If I say cool or interesting to you, you know I'm going, go, baby, go. But if he did, what might he say? And what would he say? This is going to be an interesting video for you to give you a different perspective on communicating with him. So it's not real. I just want you to know that ahead of time. But just have some fun with it. Enjoy it. Makes you think, huh, Dave? Yes? No? Could I have a little, yeah, you know, a little breathing?
I love the fact that Jesus knows BTW. But yeah, but just some thoughts. So today is about applying persistence to your life, to really not giving up. And the story that Jesus is going to tell us, it's a little one, it's perfect for this day. But number one there in your notes, let's jump in and see if some truth can hit us in the heart. First off, Jesus encourages us to keep praying. I love it when he makes following him clear, and certainly today he does that. I mean, anybody could read this story, and you could take three or four, maybe five things out of it. It may be different for different people, but it's kind of everybody would kind of get at least a part of it. Today he does that. Chapter 18 in Luke, verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples, and his disciples would be his inside group. It could have been his 12 or about 70 that were close-knit, like a church, if you will, that were with him and followed him wherever he went. He wants to teach his followers something. So for somebody outside of the church, this passage really isn't, it's not that there isn't truth available to them and bigger truth that if they knew Jesus, they could participate with it, but this is really an inside message to people who've already decided, I trust him, I believe in him, and I'm a follower, and I want to be a guy or gal who does that. So Jesus told his disciples a parable, a story or illustration, as we've mentioned before, that Jesus made up to teach a truth. So he's going to bring a parable their way to show them, and this parable is the purpose of the parable is to show them that they should always pray. And the word always means they should have a lifestyle of this, whatever he's about to teach or to show. I want you to always do this. I don't want you to do this on Monday afternoon. I don't want you to just pick this up every now and again. I want you to live this as a lifestyle, always constant contact. Paul says in his writings that I prayed without ceasing. And what the heck is that? Are we on our knees all day? Are you kidding me? It's hard on the 405 freeway to be on your knees. It's rugged. To pray is communicated with God personally. However you do it, and we're all stylistically communicate anyway. We're all different. Some are silent, some are louder, some are different personality types. You got to take you and begin to learn the art, if you will, of communicating with God. And then he says, throws in there, just for fun, like a coach would, and not give up. And the idea here is to stay steady till he returns, because he's going to talk about that in the midst of this parable, that he really is coming back. It's part of the parable, part of stuff that only his followers really would understand. I'm coming back. Stick with me. He's saying, don't give up. And the big idea here is don't cave in. That in your real following life, there's a possibility that you can go dark on Jesus. Not in terms of believing in him so much, but accessing what's available to you. And he's trying to say, look, don't grow weary. Don't stop what you're doing. Don't lose heart. Don't stop praying. Don't do that. I'm coming back, guys. I told you I was, and I am. You don't know when. You don't know the hour or the day. But the fact that Jesus will return, those of us who believe in him and believe the scripture, it can bring comfort to our lives in a big way. It can encourage right living. There's an accountability built into that thought, that I don't want him to come when I'm doing something really bad. Not just out of fear of being caught. We're all sinners. He knows that. He understands that. That's why he died. And it can promote us telling others his story in respectful, clear ways every chance we get. And kind of giving our own testimony that Jesus really is important to me. You know, I try to teach you guys to learn how to say, I love you, Jesus, out loud. And do it alone only, because you don't want people to think you're strange. But when you begin to say it 10, 15 times a day, in your heart, it builds a communication, because I tell my wife generally 10 times a day plus that I love her. I don't have to. She knows it. But you don't mind hearing it, do you? No, it's okay. If I want to upgrade that and do it 15 times a day, I don't think she'd get angry at me. I don't think I would get less. I shouldn't say get. That was wrong. I'm in trouble now. But every man in the room understands. This is one of the hazards of this job. You ask someone that's living for this world, and they're
disconnected from Jesus in terms of faith and church going, and this isn't a part of their life. They could care less. The thought that Jesus is coming back means nothing to them. The thought that Jesus could bring comfort to my life, that he could encourage me to live more rightly the way God would want me to live. The responsibility to tell somebody else so that they can have the benefits of knowing Jesus. That isn't even on their radar. They just aren't thinking about that. So first off, Jesus pretty clearly here encourages us to keep praying. Don't give up. Don't give up. Number two, next, we have a judge who's a worldly guy. He's a worldly guy. He's not a God follower, as you'll see in the text. He's a guy who is self-willed in every way. And maybe some of you, me included, can look back on my life, and that's who I was. I wasn't a judge, but I remember that Jim prior to being 22 years old. And he was a nice guy because my mom was a wonderful woman, but he was a nice guy that used his niceness to get his way, right? Some of you can relate. You know, he's sort of a big-time manipulator. He has no fear of God, this judge, as you'll see. He's a worldly man. And I thought, well, what does worldly mean to people in general? I got the definition for you from my computer. Worldly defined. The first description was experienced in human society and its ways. So his life, his experience, his understanding, his education is all about this world. And he's experienced in it, in its ways. Number two was a worldly person, and this hit it right in the heart. Much more interested in everyday materialistic concerns than in the spiritual side of life. That's what a worldly person is. And you know we struggle with this. What is most important in my life? What is most important in my checkbook? What's most important with my time? What's most important with my energy? With my emotions. In verse 2, he said, he, by the way, is Jesus telling the story that he made up, right? He said, in a certain town, this would be a fictitious town, it could be any town. You pick a town, it doesn't matter. He's just making a town up. That's what he does with the parable. In a certain town, there was a judge, and a judge would be a high-ranking court official who pronounced judgment on people. So this is a big job. He's got power. He can imprison people. That's what a judge can do. And it's a big deal. This would be a criminal or civil court, not a religious court. All right. Who, defining who this guy is, there was a judge in this certain unnamed city who neither feared God. And when he speaks of he didn't fear God, coming from Jesus, this is a description you never want Jesus to give you, by the way, with your name at the front of the line. But it's the idea put forth here is he had no reverence for God or no interest in loving him in any way. Zero. God did not matter. He didn't fear him. He had no respect for him. He had no participation with him. None. Zero. And again, I remember this Jim. I remember him. I don't know about you. But there was 22 years of my life where I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know there was an Old and New Testament. I didn't care. Nobody taught me ever in my life. I never went to church. I just didn't know. And I was a pretty nice guy. But I just didn't know. My mom and dad didn't know. They didn't raise me. There was a Bible, I tell you, on the coffee table or the one next to the end table. And it had all the gold on the outside. The reason why I had all the gold is never opened. It was pretty. And it just got lots of funeral things in it. And it got bigger, and then you'd take those away and put new ones in it. But it said Holy Bible on the top. I just never opened it. Nobody taught me. It wasn't a concern in our life back then. He goes on, neither feared God nor cared what people thought. At least he's consistent here, this judge, this worldly guy. This shows that he's void of compassion and sympathy for others. He's a hard man. He's a hard judge. If you're ever going to go before the court, you'd never want this guy's name to come up if it's your case going through. Now, the truth is, in this story, most folks, I'm not saying in this room, but in the world we live in, are a little bit like this judge. They really are. They're not concerned about what God says.
I mean, the Bible, for a large percentage of people, just means nothing. Nothing. There's no authority there. There's no absolute truth there, as most of us would believe. Words given to us by God through the Holy Spirit throughout the ages of humanity. They have no fear of Him. Well, why should I? You know, sometimes people say, well, why should I fear God? Well, would you fear an 80-pound monster? Five doors? You know, not that God's a monster, but He can, something that can crush you. You have to fear something big. But they just have no concept of God, so they don't fear Him. They live the way they want. And what I mean by that is they do the things they want, whether God says something about it or not. They have no accountability to truth. They just don't, because there is no absolute truth. Everything's relative. They're controlled and led by this world. This is common. This is all around us. These are the people that God has left us here to love and to care for and to reach out to. And if that's you, if that defines you in truth, don't raise your hand. Just change. Move your life, inch your life towards Jesus. Hear this stuff and go, oh my, I don't want to be the judge. I want to be a follower. And take it slow. But join us here without hearing truth, without being motivated and spurred on that course of action. It just kind of disappears. Number three, we also have a widow who didn't quit. Who didn't quit. You ever meet somebody that was relentless? They're just kind of, sometimes you might want to call them a close talker, somebody that comes and talks right here, and you go, dude, you got to give me some space. I got a bubble, and you're in it. You wouldn't really say that, but, you know. I mean, some people, they have a, yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing. Ever get really bugged by some person over and over again? We got that happening in this story on steroids, okay? Verse 3. And there was a widow. So now Jesus, in His made-up story, creates a widow. A woman who had no husband to stand by her, and back then that would have been problematic in every area of her life. Who had been seriously defrauded by someone, apparently, as the story goes. So she has no means of support except her own capacity. And somebody defrauded her with what she had, or what her husband had built, or whatever the case is. We don't know that much of the story. There's a widow in that town that doesn't have a name, all right, who kept coming to Him. Him would be the judge, with the plea. So she came to this judge. And the intensity of the persistence that we're about to see in her life, described in these few verses, must have been due to how destitute she was because of this person, whoever this person was, that came and took what she had from her. So she came with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now the idea of grant me justice, she wanted legal protection. She was crying upon the court and this particular judge to stop the injustice. Please, please stop what's going on against my adversary, my opponent, who is destroying me. And I don't know if you've ever been sued inappropriately, and somebody really tries to take something from you that they don't deserve. But it's a horrible feeling when this happens. I've seen people live through this, where somebody owes them something, and they owe them something big, and rightfully a jury of peers would agree that they owe them a lot, and they refuse to give it to them. And it just burns in your belly. And I'm owed something, and they're not giving it to me. And I could tell anybody, and they go, well, of course they should write the check, and they don't write the check. Bless you, whoever that was. She was relentless, is the way this storyline is going. She wouldn't go away. She wouldn't go away. This judge just wanted her to go away. That's all he wanted. He wanted her out of his life, this worldly judge, to get rid of her, to get her off her back, to be done with her. That was his goal. That was his hope. Nobody knows when a story begins how it's going to end. None of us do. Number four, her relentlessness, which is a lot of syllables, her relentlessness produced change. And this is one of the real keys of the story, as you probably know. Very interesting how Jesus presents this, because he's telling the story, and again, it's a made-up story. But everything he does has a reason or a purpose. He wants to get a major point across, I believe, to us in our prayer life in a big way. He honors her relentlessness, where I'm saying, you know, she would be driving me crazy at this point. He takes that crazy because it's just, well, let me just tell you a story. You'll get it. You're smart enough. Verse 4. For some time he refused. So we don't know how long. Was it a month? Was it a season? How long could you put up with the gal that was a widow predicted in this story? But for some time he refused. The judge, with all his power, basically ignored her and shooed her away. But she stayed relentless. But finally he said to himself, here you go, ready? Self. That's what we do when we talk to ourselves. We don't say it, we just do it. But he said, self, even though I don't fear God. So we're in his brain now in the story. He's not saying this out loud, but it confirms exactly what Jesus said about him earlier. Even though I don't fear God, and what he means there is I don't care about what the Old Testament says about widows, because the Bible says a lot about widows. And in the Old Testament, it's very clear. He's not concerned about that. Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, he's acknowledging, I am definitely not a people pleaser, and I'm never going to be. He's one of those guys. He's a hard man. He really doesn't care about you. I don't know if you've ever met somebody like this, but somebody that's, well, I guess we call them a cold fish. They just don't care. And some would cross all the way over to psychopath. I don't know if we're here, but we're halfway here. Okay, I don't care what people think. And he admits it. I mean, for a human being with power to admit, I don't care what people think. Really? Wow. Glad I'm not your kid. Okay, let's go on. Verse 5. Yet because, so here, because makes way for his change of mind and heart. And that's sort of the pivotal point, if you will. Because this widow keeps bothering me. She just keeps coming back daily. She keeps bothering me, insisting he look at the complaint and make a judgment in her favor and how horrible it was. And it probably was horrible. What, somebody beating up on a widow? I mean, come on, man. I will see that she gets justice. I'll give her the legal protection because she has been so relentless and she will not go away. I'm going to take her case, basically, so that the reason why he helped her, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. The judge became afraid of this woman. You talk about relentless, this is with a capital R. There was no noble motive here in what he did at all. It was about emotional survival for this guy. And it's just an interesting part of the story. One of the morals of this story, if you're willing to take it home with you today, wrapped up if you want, is if she gives up, if she goes away, if she caves into her frustration about not getting her way, guess what? She doesn't get any help. And I think this is one of the big parts of this story. We can almost tell you this and pray and go home. That if you give up in your prayer life, what your prayers might have accomplished goes away. And, you know, it's just a big part of this story. Number 5, let's keep going. Jesus encourages us to be relentless. He wants us to know that we have full access to him. And I know we don't fully believe that. Otherwise, we would talk to him more. And I'm not picking on you. You ask almost any Christian alive, how's your prayer life? They go, oh, I want it better. You know, I'm glad what I got. But, you know, I often tell people, if you want somebody to pray for you, ask my wife, because she'll do a better job than me. And, you know, it's just the truth. I'm a little ashamed of it. And it's not that I don't pray. I want to communicate my love. I'm thankful to Jesus for all he's done in my life in so many ways, in so many levels. But prayer is a war for pretty much everybody. And we all get that. He wants us to stay steady in the fact that he's coming again. And you'll see that as we get to the end. But he wants us to know how much he loves us and how in he is for us. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And I love this. God is using worldliness to teach a truth in the story. And the one with power in this situation, the one that could make a judgment, the one who could be persuaded is the idea here. Listen to what the unjust judge just said. Verse 7, and will not, and then he relates something greater than even the story of the unjust judge. He says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? His chosen ones would be those who belong to him. If this judge who reluctantly offered mercy and gave it, how much more would a loving God offer it? And the answer is, of course he will. Of course he will. And he refers to us, and this gets back to where I believe Jesus wants us to live, who cry out to him day and night. And I'm wondering, how much crying are we doing? And I don't mean tears here. I mean with intensity, with a level of want to talk to Jesus about our lives, to impact the people that are around us in a positive, beneficial way, about bringing salvation to the lives of the people that we know are outside of faith. What is day and night? What he wants is he wants in our life, communication-wise, that we show him that we need him. Not that he needs us to show him, but it's good for us. There's a type of relentlessness that is encouraged here, that God's always available to us. And we ought to have access and take advantage of it, not in a selfish way, but in a beautiful, loving way towards God. It's one of the ways we can love him. He goes on to say, will he keep putting them off? And the idea here, if you can grab hold of it, is when Jesus returns, justice will be full and complete in every way. He will bring a justice that we could never bring about in our court system and the world we live in. Yet we do the best that we can to bring justice. And there's a message here, if somebody that belongs to him is willing to take, that is huge. Jesus is saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me completely? My Father, he's telling us, will produce judgment in every situation of life, in everybody's life. Will you just learn to cry out to me more in your life? One day, the great judge will render judgment. You can count on it in everybody's life, including mine. And the message is, you don't have to right all wrongs. You don't have to stay and live frustrated when somebody comes against you or things don't go your way. There is a lot of PO'd people, and I almost said it, but my father-in-law's in the room. But he could handle it. He's from Georgia. There's a lot of people probably in this room that are ticked and torqued in a way you shouldn't be. And it stops love in your life. The frustration just has to find a home. It's just that spring gets wound up over this, over that. And we all got different stuff. And somehow what he's saying, look, if you will trust me and understand that the God of the universe is going to bring justice to all things, you don't have to get your justice. Somebody can kick you in the shins and you don't have to kick them back. Now, if they're trying to kill you or somebody else, take them out. Take them out. Can't hurt my friend. But if somebody kicks you in the shin, do you have to kick them back? That's who we are as people. I got to win this. This has to be different. This is wrong. And we fight for stuff that we're wasting our effort at times. Some things are worth fighting for. I didn't expect to get so excited today. There is great freedom if you get to a place where you don't have to right all wrongs. You don't have to fix every frustration in your life. You can relax in the level of love and the level of freedom that you can live with. It's what God intended. He leave it to him. Fix what you can, but don't let it take you out of the game of love. And if you get honest and you write a list about the things that torque you and take you out of loving people, your emotions sometimes end up messing you up. Is that too much for today? I want it to be light and breezy. Number 6. Jesus ends highlighting his return as if he had a yellow marker, all right? He ends this parable with a pretty deep question as well, one that challenges all of us if you've got an honest brain in your head. Verse 8, I tell you, he, and Jesus now is speaking of my Father, will see that they get justice. Now, I don't know how he could be clearer. If somebody messes with you in an inappropriate way, you don't have to fix them. You don't have to stop them. You don't have to make things right. God will. You reap what you sow. I don't know how he does it, but I believe the scriptures, and I want to leave certain things in his hands that I don't have to take care of with my hands, because there's so many things I can't fix anyway in life. I mean, come on, be real. But understand that they will get justice. It will happen. Count on it. It's a promise. It's a promise. And quickly, I don't know that the quickly was necessary here, but it will be done in short order. Those who fail to fear God especially are headed for trouble. And this Christmas time, oh, it's too late. I'm not going to tell you the story. All right. However, when the Son of Man comes, and the idea here is a twinkling of an eye when no man expects, he asked this question that is so telling. Will he find faith on earth? And he's asking that of his disciples and of us as his followers. Are you going to have faith? Are you going to let something take you out of the game? And the idea here is praying. Will anybody be seeking me? Will anybody be wanting to talk to me? Will anybody want to take advantage of what I offer relationally? Will anybody be relentless in their pursuit of me and my dad? Will they want me? And will they want me fully, or will they want me partially? And we all struggle with this. So I ask the question, apart from the scripture, with this big question hanging out there in space. So who has an active faith on earth? Do I? And, you know, I've gotten more honest with these kind of questions as I get older. But it's a fair question. Could I be missing something? And I'm asking on your behalf as well. One of the issues of a real active relationship in our human experience is we generally communicate. Or the relationship, we may be able to rekindle something later, but without communication, the relationship kind of stagnates, moves away, becomes less important. In a real relationship, we attempt to do what we're asked to the best of our ability. Not that we obey a friend, but if somebody needs something, we kind of would do it if we could. I'm willing to bend into the relationship if it's going to stay real and vibrant and caring and investable for both people. And the same goes with the relationship with Jesus. It's not free. Yeah, Jesus is free, but a relationship with him, it's work. It has responsibilities if it's to be real. And part of what he's getting at in this whole parable is, please, will you not give up on praying? Because you may think I'm waiting long to come back. Please understand, I'm as real as the day when I was raised from the dead and was nailed to the cross. So what do we learn? Number one, we get to talk to God. Now, that may seem like a small thing, but seriously, you get to talk to God. That's ridiculous. It is shocking, and it makes no sense. You get to talk to God. Really? Yes. If that's true, we probably should participate with sincerity. We should get better at it. We should get more relentless. Part of the story. Number two, he doesn't mind us being repetitive. Repetitive. Jesus says, in essence, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm here. You are welcome to ask over and over and over again. Jesus wants us day and night, he says. Day and night. And I think afternoons are okay, is what he's saying there. To pray for the benefit of others, to worship him, to bring things to him. And the more we listen to him, the better off we are. Too often, life doesn't really make sense. The things you have to deal with, the frustrations, the tensions, the seasons of life that people go through. We need to trust him anyway. I want to show you a video that tells the truth that we don't often hear because it seems harsh. But this is the truth. Listen.
4-5 down by an FDD storage program first.
03LA, did you copy 690?
Spiritual Hotline, what's your name and emergency?
It's Andrew, and it's not just one thing, it's everything. I own my own business, and things have never been worse. I'm working as hard as I can to make ends meet, but it's just getting harder every day. I'm doing it to provide for my family, but I think I'm losing them in the process. I'm not sure I can hold it together much longer. I really don't.
Listen to me, Andrew. Andrew, okay. I'm going to tell you what God told Joshua after Moses died, okay?
Okay.
God said to him, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Right, Andrew? Andrew, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
Andrew, God said that Joshua would be prosperous and successful only if he followed his commandments. You need to hold on to God's word. You understand?
I do.
Andrew, everything's going to be okay. Spiritual Hotline, what's your name and emergency?
My name is Elizabeth. I have nothing left spiritually. 6 months ago, we lost our only daughter. She was 5 years old. Her name was Kaylee. I try and do my devotions and pray, but it seems so worthless. I want to be close to God right now, but I can't.
Elizabeth, here's a message for you from Isaiah 40. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, Elizabeth, I want to talk to you about Kaylee for a moment, okay? It says, his understanding no one can fathom. Simply put, it means that God has this all figured out, and we do not. Verse 31 says that you will have your strength renewed, but only for those that hope in the Lord. Can you do that, Elizabeth?
I know that's what I'm supposed to do.
Spiritual Hotline, what's your name and emergency?
My name is Ben. I'm only 17, and I got myself into a lot of trouble. I've started doing drugs with my friends. It was only a little at first, but I'm pretty much out of control now. I don't know how to get away from it. I'm failing most of my classes. My parents have pretty much written me off. I'm honestly the scariest I've ever been in my life. And I know I'm not going to make it. I need your help.
This is Psalms 91. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I will be with him in trouble. Did you hear that, Ben? Do you understand this, Ben?
I think so.
Now what this means, he will protect you and be with you in trouble, but you need to acknowledge him. Does that make sense?
It does.
Keep him close and everything's going to be all right.
Okay, I'll try.
Again, I'm here to make you think. It's what you pay me for. Number three, God uses the unjust to produce his will. Now, this may seem like a small thing, but it's what I grabbed out of this. The widow needed justice. She really did, and she deserved it. And now, I understand it's a made-up story, okay, that Jesus made up. Yet the example is that God uses all things, even this unjust judge, a worldly man, leader, if you will, to produce his will, to right a wrong, even when we don't understand everything. Just a thought. Number four and last, things that matter ought to be presented. And I think this is the big picture of this message. This is arguably the foundation of prayer that Jesus is getting at here, that when something honors God, you're ready to go, huh? Yeah. When something produces love for God, when something produces following to happen, a change of heart in the life of an individual, a character development, whatever you want to grab onto, understanding of truth, of eternity, that ought to be presented to God and presented directly. And we can be relentless with it. We can daily ask God to change somebody's life if they're not being changed, to move in a way that seems right. We can be like this widow with our Father in heaven. One thing we know for sure is that he knows us well, because the Bible tells us to. Listen to this and then I'll pray.
O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me.
You know when I sit down or stand up.
You know my every thought when far away.
You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest.
Every moment you know where I am.
You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord.
You both proceed and follow me.
You place your hand of blessing on my head.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
Too great for me to know.
I can never escape from your spirit.
I can never get away from your presence.
If I go up to heaven, you are there.
If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there.
If I ride the wings of the morning,
if I dwell by the farthest oceans,
even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me.
I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night.
But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you.
To you, the night shines as bright as day.
Darkness and light are both alike to you.
You made all the delicate inner parts of my body.
And knit me together in my mother's womb.
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex.
Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it.
You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion.
As I was woven together in the dark of the womb.
You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book.
Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
How precious are your thoughts about me, O God?
They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand.
And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
Point out anything in me that offends you.
And lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, that we can think about you and the spiritual part of our life, that we just want to be close, Lord. We want to be able to, we see clearly in the Bible that you are there, that you know us better than we could ever know you. And Lord, I pray that we take advantage of all that's available in a good and a beautiful way, that we get relentless like this widow to further the gospel, to reach into the lives of the people that we love that need to change, and it's just clear that we become like this gal that was determined, and that we'd sit at your feet and be comfortable talking to you in any and every way. Thank you for today. Thank you for this season of life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
wake up and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. But this child away, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let a day go. Can't let a day go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And the way your sun shines on my face, it's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
How you doing, man? You're
it's a beautiful
today.
Day.
Doing good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you really? Come in.
When trouble sings,
oh, okay,
to rain on my dreams, it's not a big, not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield.
'Cause God
showing me that in you I'm free, and you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. So I won't let a day go, won't let a day go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And something about the way your sun shines on my face, it's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day. I sing about there ain't no limitations.
You'll have a ball.
Your amazing grace. And there's something about the way your love shines on my face. Oh no, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. I'm gonna sing a brand new song. Yeah, I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away.
Dan and I are going away for the week, but we come back on Sunday. We come back.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, such a beautiful day.
So is that a movie? Yeah, they were interesting, huh? Make you think.
I've been running through rain that I thought would never end. Trying to make it on faith.
Are we
struggle
going to
against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places.
Let's hope there's people here.
But I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light, I still see it. There's a hand still holding me. Even when I don't believe it, I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I see, there's hope. At the end of the storm, you finally find
what I feel.
Where the hurt and the tears and the pain don't fall behind.
You open up your eyes, and up ahead,
there's a big sun shining. Right then and there, you realize you'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light, I still see it. There's a hand still holding me. Even when I don't believe it, I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up my head. Even after all I see, there's hope.
No.
I can feel it rising through the night, and my world's still turning. I can feel your love here by my side. I still have hope. You are my hope.
And so we can't hang your clothes up there in our bedroom because the kids just can fall down. Because there's no closet doors.
It's fun.
I want to go to the men's warehouse.
Today in a conversation in the mirror, face to face with somebody less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before me, but that's just not my story. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made
It's all his stage. He knows my name. Oh, oh. He knows my name. Oh, oh. I'm not meant to just stay quiet. I'm meant to be a lion. I'll roar beyond a song with every moment that I've got.
Close those doors. Too cold. Hi, sweetheart. See ya, bud. I'm gonna call me. Let's talk. Are you gonna hang out with them the next few days? Okay. Hey, Michael. Children are escaping.
I see the work of your hands, galaxies spinning a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice.
I'm gonna close these for warmth, okay?
All at once, it's a gentle and thundering noise, oh God.
Yeah, it's background.
All that you
it's background music. So now, the caller one is his voice. That's different. You understand? But whenever it's words.
I delight myself in you.
A real background.
Captivated by your beauty. I'm
will be.
I know the power.
Can you turn that heater on?
Forgiven and free.
On.
Forever you'll be my God. And all that you've done is so. beautiful. God, you are the most beautiful. And you are wonderful. You are wonderful. Oh God, there is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful. God, you are the most wonderful.
When are you going back?
The third.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Looking good, man. You're a dude.